federal stimulus package. Senator Fischbach, you have a, I hope it's going to be a small bill. Do you have somebody with you? Okay. If we can take care of Senator Fischbach's bill very, very quickly, let's take up Senate File 55. We've got a division report. I don't see Senator Anderson. Senator Pappas moves adoption of the division report. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Senator Fischbach.
86, 886.
Mr. Chair, basically there was an issue with some of the language and where some bonding money was directed last year, and so we are trying to correct that. I mean, it was part of the bonding bill and just an issue of exactly how much money was issued to straighten that out, because the language we used in here, this group, the Minnesota Regional Parks and Trails Coordination Board, can't accept dollars, so we have to run it through through Stearns County. And Mr. Wolken is here to answer any questions. He's with the Stearns County Parks and Trails and can answer any questions about the technicalities if we need him to.
Mr. Wolken, did you wish to testify for a minute?
Mr. Chair, Chuck Wolken, Stearns County Park Director. We basically put the wrong name in the bill, so we're looking at trying to correct that. We thought we had statutory authority for the Central Minnesota Regional Parks and Trails Coordination Board to administer the state grants, and the Department of Finance decided that that wouldn't work, that we had to have the county actually named as the recipient for the grant. So the bill basically will allow us to do exactly what the bonding bill had said. We're just changing the name of the recipient. Stearns County was going to acquire it. We had a purchase agreement with we have a purchase agreement with the seller. Time is of the essence. We were supposed to close last October, and the seller is willing to give us some time, understanding that a corrective bill is going through the legislature. So that's our situation.
Senator Betzel.
As a procedural matter, when the bill gets to the floor, will we have to wait till the House passes the bill since it's amending the bonding bill?
And Senator Betzel, that's what I was talking to Mr. Watson about, and that's correct. Either we'd have to wait for a House file to come over and treat it as a bonding bill in terms of the two-thirds vote, or arguably if we have a bonding bill, it might be included in that bill. But we can certainly pass it to the floor, but we would have to wait and substitute the House file when it comes over.
So, Mr. Chair, is counsel saying this is a bonding bill? I was a little confused because when my assistant talked to Langseth's office, I guess Senator Langseth's office or committee doesn't need to see the bill. This can go, that's correct. So they don't, it does not need to go through the bonding committee?
Well, Senator Fischbach, whether or not Senator Langseth is asking to see the bill or not doesn't necessarily change constitutional requirements, but let me just ask Mr. Watson to comment.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Fischbach, to explain the procedure for putting together the bonding bill and the capital investment committee is not to have a group of bills formally referred to the committee, but rather the bills are all referred to the finance committee, and then the various divisions of the finance committee make their recommendations to the Capital Investment Committee, and a new bill is assembled there. So this is the kind of thing that, having been recommended by Senator Anderson's division, would be perhaps included by Senator Langseth in an omnibus bonding bill. But that's without the bill itself being formally referred to Capital Investment. And that's pretty much what we do with all of the bills.
Mr. Chair, they have sent in the House, this has gone to the floor individually, because I think Mr. Wolken mentioned the time is of the essence, and so we wanted to get it through so that they could proceed with the sale, with the seller waiting, you know, being kind enough to wait a while until we finish this.
Senator Fischbach, that's why I scheduled the bill right away, because I understand that there was some urgency, but obviously we can't do anything about, as Senator Betzel raises and Mr. Watson explains, the constitutional aspects of this. Obviously, if the House file comes over, arguably you could take it up on the Senate floor with the House file and I assume meet that constitutional requirement without necessarily waiting for a bonding bill. But you'll need to have action on a House file.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Pariseau.
Mr. Chairman, I would move, if that's the path you want to take and it's okay with Senator Fischbach, I would move it, that we do that.
Okay, Senator Paraso moves adoption of Senate File 55. But again, Senator Fischbach, this would still leave you with, you know, the couple of options. And you'll have to obviously track your companion bill, you know, coming over from the House. But
Mr. Chair, I'll let them know that that's the case, that we that because it has just been waiting on the Senate or House calendar or whatever general register that they call it over there. So if we can take the action on it that we need to, and then I will let them know that we're ready to finish it up.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Watson.
Just to further explain, so what will happen to this bill, the bill is recommended to pass, it goes up, it gets its second reading, it goes on general orders. Then when the House file comes over, there's a substitution, the bills are identical, it's a straight substitution, and then we just take up the House file.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Watson, thank you very much. And we would still need the 60%, even though this is only language and not money? Okay.
Again, Senator Betzel originally raised it because it was part of the bonding process, and you're amending the bonding process, you would still need that. I guess I said 2/3, I meant 60%.
60%, yeah.
And you would still need that that percentage. We have the motion in front of us. Is there further discussion? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Then we have Senate File 824. If I could ask Senator Pappas, would you like to chair the meeting for me?
I was wondering if you had a bill up there. I didn't see it there.
It's a name change for the recipient of the grant. Mr. Cohen, you have an amendment. You want to adopt that first?
Madam Chair, I think we should probably have a little bit of an explanation of the bill initially. Senate File 824, and I'll explain, and I do have an amendment to offer, is a bill necessitated by the federal stimulus package in terms of how we reflect our reserve account, how we reflect any carry forward funds relative to the federal stimulus money. This is something similar to what other states are doing. I had hoped that we would be able to simply take up the House file. That apparently has not come over. So I think Ms. Hague had put the House file in the packets. I'm going to be offering the amendment to conform the Senate file to the language of the House file. But possibly we could have some explanation of the bill first. And so I'd like to ask if I might first Mr. Mossman to offer some general comments, and then Commissioner Hansen has asked to testify.
Okay. Mr. Mossman?
Mr. Chair and members, Madam Chair and members, in your packet, you have a couple handouts just for reference. One is just a single page. I think the most delineating feature is probably that it's page 552, and this comes out of the federal stimulus bill. And as I think you're all aware, one of the significant pieces for the state in the federal the Recovery Act is the increase for states in the federal medical assistance participation matching rates for a temporary period of time. And along with that language, there's a requirement that you see copied here on the top of this here page in this Section 3 that reads that a state is not eligible for an increase in FMAP under these sections or an increase in the cap amount if any amounts are attributable directly or indirectly to an increase to such an increase are to the increase are deposited or credited into any reserve or rainy day fund of the state. That provision of the stimulus bill, coupled with the fact that we have existing state statutes that say that any positive balance in a state budget forecast as of the end of the biennium, so if the forecast released next week were to project a positive balance for fiscal 2009, that money would be automatically appropriated under existing state statutes, which are also in your packet, to the budget reserve. Because the federal matching participation rate increase is retroactive to October 1st of 2008, and we're going to be beginning to receive that money already, and our understanding is that it's going to be incorporated into the forecast, there is a distinct possibility that fiscal 2009 will show a positive balance in the forecast that would trigger this language. And so the language being taken up here is to not have Minnesota be in conflict with the federal legislation when the forecast is released.
Okay, Madam Chair, that offers the broad perspective on why we have to do this. Maybe before we take questions, I could just ask Commissioner Hansen to offer some thoughts as well.
Commissioner Hansen, welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Just some comments on them. We'd appreciate passage of the bill. Right now we are preparing the forecast that will be out next Tuesday, March 3rd. We are preparing it as if this bill will actually pass. If it doesn't, then there's a different treatment for the federal stimulus money. As is, we're assuming this will pass. So it would be helpful if it did. Regarding the amendment, it is not something that is necessary to implement the stimulus. I just wanted to give you some context. Where there's been general consensus among all of us that balancing the tails is something that's important. If you think back to May 30th, 2007, from budgetary terms, it seems like a lifetime ago, but we had 10 and 11, not only balance, but we had $1.1 billion set aside and covered the inflation. We've had a $6 billion turnaround. Then if you think back, even go back farther to 2005, even in that tough year, we managed to put some money aside and have a positive balance going forward in the tails. So it is a general consensus between the House and the Senate and the governor and with political parties that we try to do the best we can. But we're not in ordinary times, and I believe the extent of the taxes you would have to increase or the cuts you would have to make to implement this amendment. And take note, it says the governor and enacted. So we would provide you with a balance in 12 and 13, but you would be under this would be have to balance your 12 and 13 and take the according action as well. And I wanted you to keep that in mind. I think that's all I had.
Senator Cohen.
And Commissioner, thank you. I'd like to, at this time, offer the amendment, but I know that Senator Roebling had.
Senator Roebling.
On the proposal, does the governor have any obligation constitutionally or otherwise that he has to provide a supplemental budget beyond the one that is constitutionally required in January?
Madam Chair, Senator Roebling, we have in statute a requirement to submit a budget to the legislature Tuesday after the third Monday in January of the odd year. We don't have a statutory obligation to submit a supplemental budget. We will this year because of all the changes, and hopefully have that to you as quickly as possible in March. But it's not a statutory requirement.
So, Madam Chair.
Senator Roebling.
So, but you're doing that because you think that's something that you would do because you're responsible, but you could leave it all to the legislature, couldn't you, to come up with a different budget now that the governor's presented his and let the legislature deal with this with this amendment on that they have to balance the budget with the tails.
Commissioner Hansen.
Madam Chair, Senator Roebling, under that, I suppose, but we feel pretty strong that we are obligated to provide our best guidance to you as you go forward, and we will work as hard as we can into the evenings to try and turn our supplemental around and get it to you as quickly as possible. Because of all the changes, it'll probably be sometime mid-March before we're able to do that.
Madam Chair.
Senator Roebling.
I'm wondering if we pass this amendment, does that preclude us from doing the shift in K-12 education because it would cause some structural imbalance in the next biennium?
Madam Chair,
Senator Cohen.
Senator Roebling, no. You know, we've utilized, whether we do that or we don't, when we utilize shifts and other utilizations in terms of how we handle the accounting for the budget, that's always reflected in the bottom line. So that doesn't, you know, we've had shifts in the past and have certainly passed a balanced budget.
But
Senator Roebling.
Madam Chair, Senator Cohen, we've always passed a balanced budget for the upcoming biennium, but for the one further out, and aren't we talking about the tails in the amendment? So,
Senator Roebling,
that's what I'm confused about. If we do the shift, we balance our budget for the next biennium, but doesn't that cause a hole in the one that's 2 years beyond that?
Good point. Commissioner.
No, Madam Chair, Senator Roebling, yeah, you would think so, but it is, you're just shifting. You know, right now it's the 90-10. You're just shifting it, making it 80-20, and you're shifting that extra 10%. Madam Chair, exactly right. You continue to shift in perpetuity. So it isn't all be wonderful if you just undid the shift and didn't do it and you could recognize 1.3 in the tails. It's not that easy. It would be an easy fix for the tails. We probably wouldn't, the shift wouldn't be as attractive if that were the case.
Madam Chair, Senator Roebling, the bigger concern in terms of out years will be the federal money, because that's clearly the utilization of one-time money that can be counted one time. And certainly, we've been having meetings, and obviously, the divisions have been meeting. I've been doing a lot of work, relative to this, and we're starting to promulgate how we want to handle things. And there's no question we're going to take that into account. Madam Chair, if
Senator Cohen, did you want to move the A1 amendment?
Yeah, we'd like to move the amendment.
Senator Cohen moves the A1 amendment, and then that puts the bill in the same language as it passed the House floor.
That's correct.
Any questions on the A1 amendment? Yes, Senator Fredrickson.
Madam Chair, Senator Cohen, I'm questioning the advisability of doing this. First of all, the out biennium isn't based on really a forecast. It's based on a planning estimate. And with that uncertainty, and this would be a budget that would end on June 30th, 2013, if I'm looking at the calendar correctly. So it's based on a planning estimate. We're in very unusual times of a lot of uncertainty in the economy. I don't know why we would want to place this on ourselves and enacting this coming budget. I certainly wholeheartedly agree with the principle behind it. I think we should be having a balanced budget in the out biennium. But as we go through assembling this budget, and with all the division chairs having to look at that out biennium, with this hanging over our heads, I don't know why we'd want to do that.
Senator Cohen.
I'm looking around the table here. I see many many division chairs around this table, and thinking of how they would struggle to balance that out biennium budget with the uncertainty that's before us.
Madam Chair, Senator Fredrickson, you vastly underestimate the quality of our division chairs.
Madam Chair, Senator Cohen, I do not. They're very, very creative folks and very skilled folks, and I'm sitting next to one of the most skilled.
Thank you.
Two of them.
not two of them.
Senator Cohen.
Madam Chair and Senator Fredrickson, there's no question that this places greater responsibility on the legislature. I would argue, as Commissioner Hansen mentioned, these are not ordinary times. And when you look at what might be projected in terms of the out years, Mr. Mossman and I attend at the commissioner's and Dr. Stinson's invitation the meetings of the Council of Economic Advisors, which are very educational. And it's striking, listening not just to Dr. Stinson but the other economists, as to how you look at, in an informal discussion, those aren't formal committee meetings, how they're thinking compared to the past number of years when I've been going to those meetings. And so it underscores that I think we have a greater obligation this year to try to affect that that balanced budget for the out years, given where the economy might still be going, given the problems we're going to have. You know, we could find ourselves coming back in 2 years and in a problem every bit as great as what we have this year.
Senator Berglund.
Well, Madam Chair and Senator Fredrickson, I believe that we're going to need to use some one-time money, this biennium, as a bridge, as a temporary measure to get the time we need for the changes that need to be made to become effective. But I don't think we should be using one-time money as a way to avoid balancing the next biennial budget. And I think that's what Senator Cohen's bill is trying to get at. And I just think it's irresponsible when we plan for future deficits if we have to make cuts that will affect the biennium after this. It would be better for everybody to know ahead of time so they can plan for having less money available to them.
Madam Chair.
Senator Roebling.
Senator Cohen, when we left here last spring, didn't we plan for a deficit for the next biennium?
Senator Cohen.
Madam Chair, Senator Roebling, that's correct. Although, Mr. Mossman, I hope you're going to.
Like 900 or something.
It was about 940, I think.
Mr. Chair and members, 946.
But I believe when we passed the bill out of the Senate, I want to suggest that it was balanced. It was very close to balanced, I think.
I do not believe so.
Mr. Mossman's smiling like I. Well, I've seen that with some hesitation, Mr. Mossman, but. What was the balance with the original Senate bill?
Mr. Mosman?
Okay, he doesn't have to answer.
You're
don't worry about it.
You expect a lot of people.
Mr. Chair and members, my recollection is that it was balanced in the tails, but I don't recall the number off the top of my head.
Okay, good answer. All right.
Mr. Chair, I recall something
Mr.
different.
Senator Roebling, please go through the chair. Senator Roebling.
Well, Madam Chair,
Senator Cohen, who's going to talk?
Well, I believe, and we'd have to check, the Senate bill, if not in balance, off the Senate floor was very close to that. There's no question that the conference committee report, whatever it was, 1812, as passed by the legislature, signed by the governor, had a not insignificant deficit. But it was not for want of effort by the Senate. And so this language in the A1 amendment would simply force a little bit more responsibility on the Senate than what we've exercised in the past. You know, Madam Chair, I mentioned this at an earlier meeting. I do find the juxtaposition quite striking.
The juxtaposition with what?
Well, I was going to tell you what juxtaposition. Okay. And Senator Day jumped all over me a couple weeks ago when I mentioned that the person who lectured us relative to structural balance in the out years was Governor Carlson. He is the person who imposed that discipline on the legislature. I don't think prior to his administration there was much of a concern with that. And Governor Carlson, as members who were present might recall, came into office with a deficit, and I remember I became a finance chairman initially during the middle of his first term, and I certainly remember lectures from Governor Carlson about the legislature exercising some responsibility. So I think the language of the A1 amendment in difficult times is something that will put the state on firmer ground.
Any more questions on the A1 amendment? Senator Frederickson.
Chair Senator Cohen, I'm still not convinced that this is a good idea to put this into state law. Couldn't we accomplish the same thing with you as the chair of the Finance Committee and maybe with the cooperation of Senator Bach and the division chairs deciding that the bills that we're going to send out of the Senate accomplish this without putting it into state law? This is writing something to state law we don't need to do to accomplish. It seemed to me that you could accomplish the same thing with conversations with Senator Bach, perhaps Representative Solberg, and your division chairs.
Madam Chair, Senator
Frederickson. My concern is that we'll come back in the end of April regretting that we've done this.
Madam Chair, Senator Frederickson, to be honest with you, I have confidence on the Senate side. To be real honest, I think the other body has shown greater reluctance to do this. They offered the language, and certainly if you look at Senator Roebling made reference to last spring, when we came into conference, as you'll recall, the House file was significantly more out of balance than where we ended. So I think the discipline on the part of the Senate's usually been pretty good. Democrat or Republican.
All those in favor of the A1 amendment? Senator Frederickson.
Are you suggesting that I amend this online to enacted by the House of Representatives?
No. So the okay. All those in favor of the A1 amendment, please say aye.
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 All those opposed?
No.
Motion prevails. We have the bill before us. Senator Cohen, did we need any more discussion on the original bill, the balance carried forward? That was what
Madam
was
Chair,
explained
I think we've had the discussion as to why we need it.
And we need it because of the federal stimulus language.
And I would move that Senate File 24 is going to be recommended to pass.
Any more discussion from members of the committee? Then all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?